Thank you. We got any visitors from out of town today? Any visitors from out of town? Any visitors from out of town? Are there any visitors from out of town? Charity. Come here, Charity. I want to see you a second. Come here. You're so pretty. Come here. Come here. I want you to do one of those yoga things. All right, you help me do one, all right? Can you help me? Later, okay. Well, it's good to have you guys in town. And anybody home for the holidays? Yeah, got Becca. Got that Cole boys in here. Everybody's home for the holidays. Amen. Amen. A wonderful week. So today, let's get our word out. We're going to be, we're actually going to be in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, and we're also going to be in Luke chapter 1. So if you can put one finger on Luke chapter 1 and one finger on Matthew, and we're going to flip back and forth there just a little bit as we read today. Before we get started, though, I want to thank every one of y'all for coming out today. I thought it was going to be a crazy mess this morning, and actually it wasn't even that bad, was it? I thought it was just going to be a big sheet of ice, dangerous, nobody's traveling. But I want to thank every one of you for coming out here today and making it a priority to be in the house today with each other. Amen? So thank you. All right, you're already there. Luke. In Matthew, we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Here we go. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Now, I want to see a show of hands. How many of you ladies have had that experience before? Gabriel came and met you and said, "You are highly favored." Anybody? Nobody? Is that Skylar? You know what? I believe that. I believe it. She is highly favored. Most of us ladies, though, not most of us ladies, but most of you ladies, have never experienced that before. But when you read about that, can you imagine that literally the angel Gabriel comes and visits Mary in a dream, comes and visits her in a vision, comes and visit her and speaks to her and says, "Hey, God's with you. You're highly favored." Now, at that point, Mary didn't really understand what was going on. She's thinking, "Man, God loves me. I'm highly favored. Amen. Praise the Lord." But then Gabriel wasn't done, was he? That wasn't all Gabriel was going. Gabriel just didn't come to say, "Hey, God loves you and you're highly favored." So when the angel does come and tell you that, get ready, because there's more to come. There's more to come. So he goes on to say, it says in verse 29, it says, "Confused and disturbed." How many of you might be a little confused and a little disturbed if an angel shows up and says, "Hey, the Lord loves you, the Lord's with you, you're highly favored"? How many of you think that might be a little confusing and a little disturbing? Amen. Amen. It says, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. I think, man, that's exactly where I'd be. What is going on here? Why this visitation? And the angel said to Mary, says, "Do not be afraid." The angel told her, "For you have found favor with God." I mean, the angel's just laying it out there. You found favor with God. Don't be afraid. You're highly favored. You're loved. And the angel says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom will never end. Now, Mary, at this point, we read already, Mary is what? She's a virgin. She is not married to Joseph yet. And yet the angel's coming and saying, you're going to be with child. You're going to give birth to this child. And Mary says to the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and now is in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. The word of God will never fail. You need to write that down. You need to get that in your spirit. You need to believe that. You need to let it take root in you that the word of God will never fail. Can I get a testimony that the word of God will never fail you? The word of God, it might not look the way you think it should look, but it will never fail you. It will never leave you short of what God says he's going to accomplish in your life. Amen? Amen. Polly, the Lord said he's going to give you a child, didn't he? And you tried and you tried and you tried. And I'll guarantee you somewhere in that journey, you probably began to, your hope probably began to take a little downturn. And there was probably some days where you were stressed and days you were going, God, but you said, God, you said. And God gave you a word, said you're going to bear a child. And then that day came and you conceived a child within your womb. And now little Cash is right there. And during the song, he's crying out. And isn't that just a beautiful sound hearing that baby cry? And knowing that God's word is true in your life. And some of you are holding on to some things. God's told you, your child is going to be a mighty warrior, or your child's going to be a mighty man of God, or a mighty woman of God, or there's things in your child that I'm going to bring to pass, and don't fear, don't worry, but trust on me. And God says today that his word is true. And listen, we serve a God who is supernatural. So it doesn't matter what kind of natural problem you're experiencing or what kind of natural blockages or things that you're going through, God is supernatural. And so it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't even matter what you necessarily see with your eyes. Because Mary was a virgin. And the power of the Lord comes to her and says, you're going to conceive a child. And you can imagine what Mary must have been like. How old was Mary at this time, approximately? How old was Mary? She was in her teens. She was in her teens. She was in her teens. Listen to what goes on. Mary responded after the Lord said, for the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. And then the angel left her. Mary's response to the word of God, to this supernatural word of God, was, I am your servant. Whatever you have said, Lord, let it come to pass. Now, I'm asking you this morning, because I know that in you, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, this has nothing to do with gender right now, what I'm about to say. But I know that God has put something in you, that has impregnated you, something that's in you that God says, look, it will come to pass. You will give birth to it. There will be life that comes from you. And God's saying that his word will never fail you. His word will not come up short in your life, in your situation. Look, let me tell you, you got to imagine what it must have been like for Mary becoming pregnant. She wasn't even married yet. She'd never even had sex. She'd never been intimate with a man, and yet she was pregnant. And you can imagine what she must have felt like. Do you think the enemy tried to bring shame on her? You think he tried to make her feel guilty, tried to make her feel like she was, everybody was looking at her, everybody was talking about her. Here's a little teenage girl that turns up pregnant. And God said, I'm going to be with you. God said, I'm going to walk with you. Now, do you think that Mary, through this process, might have at some point thought, what is going on? You think maybe somewhere in this point, that in this whole picture, that she might have had some doubts in her heart? And so whatever you're going through, wherever you're at, God says, look, there is hope. Because my word will never fail you. Have you found that to be true? How many of you have found, and I've found this in my own life, but how many of you have found in your life that sometimes you can stray away from God, but God never strays away from you? Isn't that amazing that it doesn't matter how far you think you try to get away from God or how bad you messed up, that when you really turn around, God's right there. He's right there with you. And can you imagine if you were Mary, how dependent upon the Lord you would have been trying to explain this to somebody? Now, Taylor, before you and Jeremiah got married, how would you like to come to your mom and say, Mom, I'm a virgin, but I'm pregnant. How would you like to try to explain that one to her? And how would you like to try to explain that to Jeremiah? Jeremiah, I'm pregnant. Well, hey, Jeremiah, what would be your first thought? Huh? I can tell you what my first thought was. I said, where's he at? Because I'm going to kill him. Because I know it wasn't me, where's he at? Right, Keith? Now, look what happened in the scripture, though. This is where we got to flip back to Matthew. Because in verse 19 of chapter 1, it says, so Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. I found that pretty amazing that Joseph was just going to say, okay, we'll just break it quietly. Here I say, I'm going to kill him. Joseph says, okay, we'll just break it quietly and nothing will be said. And while Joseph was considering this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, said the angel, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do you see, what did the angel tell Mary when he come to her? He told her, he said, don't be afraid. When the angel comes to Joseph, he says, don't be afraid. Let me tell you this, when God calls you, when God anoints you, when God pulls you out, when God puts something in you, the first thing that's going to come upon you is fear. Fear. It's going to try to get you because fear will, it'll immobilize you. You will not be able to move forward as long as you fear and you tremble. Because when you fear, guess what? You're depending on your own strength. But God calls us out of a place of fear. He says, my word will not fail you. You can trust me. Craig and Sandra, when God called you to go onto the mission field, did a little bit of fear ever creep in? A lot of fear crept in. So you had a great, look, the higher the calling, the greater the calling, the greater the fear that will try to come upon you to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Now, we all got some really amazing callings, okay? There's some great anointing, some great gifts, some great calling. But there ain't a nary one of us that had a calling like Mary did. Not before and not since. She had a calling to carry the Christ, the Messiah, in her womb. I mean, literally, the DNA is made up of two sides, right? There's two sides to the DNA, right? You get one side from the mother. Yeah, y'all are getting really good. Okay, it's not a trick question. You get the other side of the ladder from the father. And so Mary is carrying the Messiah, which has part of her DNA and part of the supernatural power of God in her. You want to talk about a calling? She had a calling to carry the Messiah in her womb. Now, you want to talk about fear that would come upon you? You want to talk about fear? She knew the whole time of her pregnancy that she was carrying the Messiah in her. Now, I know you love your children, amen? But do you not think there might be just a little added something if you knew it was God in the flesh inside of your womb? And fear come to Mary, and the angel said, "Do not fear." You see, what we got to see in this whole process is that God's placed something in you. God's put a calling in you. God's impregnated you. God has something, life in you, that he's wanting to bring out of you. And every single one of us, every single one of us that's received Christ into our heart, listen, Jesus is in you. Just like Mary. Mary was naturally bringing forth Jesus, but God's called us to spiritually bring forth Christ in our lives. Now, in your walk with Christ, in your walk with God, have you ever experienced fear when God calls you to do something? There, fear will come. But God says, and God will always bring assurance. God will always bring things into your life. God will always bring confirmation. And so when Joseph was having these doubts, when he was considering quietly leaving Mary, the Lord sent the angel. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now in this moment, Joseph received what the word of the Lord was, and he took Mary to be his wife. He took Mary to be his wife. And it says that they didn't sleep together. They were not together until after Jesus was born. Now, I don't know what all of our callings are. I don't pretend to stand here and know exactly what you're called to. But I'm telling you what, if Mary and Joseph can walk through the calling that they've had, whatever God's called us to do, listen, we can do it. Whatever God's called us to do, we can do it. Now, with Mary and Joseph, they could have easily let the things of the world get in the way, couldn't they? They could have said, "Well, nobody's going to believe that I'm a virgin and I'm pregnant." Joseph could have very easily just dismissed her. And a lot of times when God calls us to something, we make excuses and try to get out of what God's called us to. And sometimes, if you'll bear witness with me this morning, we'll run from what God's called us to do for years. And I dare say in a group like this morning that some of you today are still running from what God's called you to do. Amen? Amen. Am I preaching to the right group this morning? Amen. Who is that? Skylar, I like it. Now, that's a woman right there. Skylar is going to be a woman because she's playing the game and she's listening. And we all know that. We all know that women can multitask, right? It's amazing how women multitask. Because guys, we only got one thing. Isn't that right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we can only think about one thing at a time, right? Women, they think about so many things at the same time. And so you think about Mary. Mary must have been thinking about all. She probably had a whole list of things that she was contemplating in her mind. Well, what is my mom going to think? What is my dad going to think? What's happening here? What are the people going to say? Joseph was only thinking about one thing, right? He was only thinking about one thing in this whole process. And God's bringing them out of this place, but God tells them both the same thing. Do not fear. do not fear. Do not fear, for my word will come true. It will not fail you. How many of you this morning believe that? I mean, you truly believe it in your heart that God's word will not fail you. Listen, we have got to be in that place with our understanding, with our mind. We've got to know that God's word will not fail us. We've got to know it. We've got to know it, that his word will not fail us. Because what happens when we come, when we're confronted with Christ, the Messiah, when we're confronted with the gift of God in our life, we can do several things. We can ignore it, we can embrace it, or we can destroy it. And what we see in this story here is that Mary and Joseph, and I don't think it's not coincidence that God chose two young teenagers, right? God could have called two old people that had never been married. I mean, he could have got someone and an old lady that was a virgin and had it done and accomplished what he wanted to, but he went to two teenagers. I tell you what, when you're young, come on, don't you think you can accomplish anything? Don't you think you're invincible? Yeah. I mean, you got everything in front of you. There's nothing that can hold you back. And when God comes to those two teenagers and talks to them, Mary's response through all that says, I'm a servant. I'll do whatever you've called me to do. I'll go with you. And may everything that you've said, may it be accomplished. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how old we are, but man, God's got a calling on you young people. And sometimes when we get old, when we had some years under our belt, we get kind of complacent with where we're at. We get pretty comfortable with where we're at. And it's sometimes God trying to get us to move is like trying to get a knot out of a log. Amen? You ever feel that way? But I'm telling you, young people, I'm telling you, if you're a teenager or you're in your 20s and you got so much ahead of you, do not sell short what God's got for you. He called Mary and Joseph to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior of this world. He entrusted it into two teenagers. What do you think he might entrust into you? Taylor and Jeremiah, what do you think he might entrust into you two? You've got a great calling upon your life and you got a great future ahead of you. Listen, you got to take this word and you got to hide it in your heart, because the Lord's word will not fail you. And let me say this, do not fear. Do not fear. How can we not fear when we're walking through some of the most fearful things that we've ever walked through? Let me tell you how you do it. You trust in the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You allow God's perfect and beautiful love to so consume you that it casts out all fear. The Word of God says that what? Perfect love does what? Cast out fear. Perfect love. Listen, your love is not perfect. Your love is not perfect. But his love is absolutely perfect. And when we wrap ourselves in his perfect love, and you have to see this, you have to see that Mary was wrapped in the perfect love of God. Because she was able to walk through this, and Joseph allowed the perfect love of God to wrap him. And it was in this moment that their faith in God come to a whole new level. How do you think Mary must have felt the first time she felt that baby kick in her womb? All of a sudden, through this whole time, you know, and she receives that word, but until you, there's actually confirmation that there's a child within you, you know good and well there had to be a little bit of doubt, a little bit of fear, a little bit of what's going on here. But the moment she feels that baby, and you know what? Mary knew she was a virgin. Mary knew. Everybody else might have said, well, yeah, right. I've heard that one before. But Mary, in her heart, she knew that she was a virgin. And to feel the life of a baby in her womb was absolute confirmation. And what you're going to experience is when you begin to walk in your calling, what God's called you to, at first you might not feel a thing. At first you might not understand it. But there's going to come a moment when you feel the kick, when you feel the life within you. And it's in that moment that your faith is built to a whole new level. to a whole new level. And I feel like God's calling us to a place because there's things in our life that we've got to carry Jesus wherever we go. Now, we have a response to Jesus, and we can respond in many different ways, but one of the things, look, if you don't embrace what God's called you to do, if you don't embrace it, God will get somebody else to do it, won't he? God will accomplish what he needs to accomplish. What if the angel would have come to Mary and said, hey, you're going to give birth, and what if she just said, no way, I'm not having anything to do with it, forget it. Do you think the Messiah would have never came to this earth? I don't, because that was God's plan. And had Mary not said, I'm a servant, do what you said, let it all come to pass, somebody else would have received that blessing. Listen, what I don't want to do, I don't want anybody to do what I'm supposed to do. I don't want anybody to fulfill the calling that I've been called to do. I don't want anybody to walk in my destiny. I don't want to shortchange what God's called me to do. Look, as wonderful and beautiful as the calling that was upon Mary's life, let me tell you, what you carry, what's in you, it's the same thing. It's the Messiah. It's Jesus. It's in you. It's kicking. It's kicking. The life is kicking inside of you, and it wants to get out of you. It wants to get out of you. Now look, here's what's going to happen. There's always going to be people. There's always going to be things that want to kill what's going on. You think about when Jesus came and Jesus was born, what was King Herod's response? King Herod, what was his response? King Herod said he was wanting to know all about the child, where he was born, because King Herod wanted to kill the Messiah. He wanted to kill the Messiah. I found that interesting that the king, the one who was in authority, the one who was filled with pride, was filled with all of the things, he was the one that wanted to kill the child, but yet God chose two teenagers to carry the child. I find that interesting that God says, look, I'll trust you two little teenagers to carry the Messiah, because there's going to be one that's in authority who wants to destroy. And you know what? What must have happened? God must have known that if Mary and Joseph would be faithful in this supernatural pregnancy, that they would be faithful in every other thing that God called them to do. Because was it not vital that they were obedient to the Lord once Jesus was born? Because God called them to go. Called them to go to Egypt. Then he called them to Nazareth. He called them to move strategically around for the health and the well-being of baby Jesus. Do you realize that baby Jesus was actually a baby? I mean, when you sit there and you comprehend, you wrap your mind around it, that God with us was actually a baby, and what kind of power does a baby have? I mean, a baby is ultimately dependent on its parents, right? I mean, Jesus, even though he was God with us, he was ultimately dependent on two teenagers. I find that amazing. And what I find in that is it's hopeful. Because we've got so many young people. We got so many teenagers that God's got a great call on their life, and they're battling. They're battling with what the world says they should look like, with what the world says they should do, what their peers say. They battle and they battle and they battle, and there's so many things trying to pull their attention and pull their life. And yet God's got such great and mighty things planned for them. And I just pray in my heart that you'll say yes. That you'll say yes to what God's called you, to say yes to what God's put inside of you, to say yes, we will birth it. Yes, we will bring it forth. Yes, we will be obedient to that. And let us not be like King Herod, trying to destroy what the Lord wants to bring forth. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves in that place. We can find ourselves drawn to the things that would destroy the move of God. Amen. Jason, can you come? As they're coming, I felt really strongly today that many of you here, many of you, whether you're young or whether you're old, that you're impregnated with something. You know there's something inside of you. And let me tell you, how many of you, I think we've talked about this before, but how many of you know that when you're spiritually pregnant with something, it doesn't operate on a 9-month scale? It's not like the natural when you're impregnated. Sometimes when you're impregnated with God, what God's called you with this, sometimes when you're impregnated with what God's called you to do, sometimes it can literally, not because of God necessarily, but sometimes it can take years to birth. Listen, sometimes if we're not careful, we will terminate the pregnancy. Sometimes we will terminate the pregnancy of what God's called us to do if we're not careful. We're not careful. And so this morning, what I felt like God was showing me is many of us in this room are impregnated. And many of us in this room are, there's something in us that God, that you know God's put in you. And maybe you've run from it. Maybe you're just not even sure exactly what it is, but you know it's there. What I want to ask this morning, if that's you, if there's something in there and you know it, maybe you know what it is, maybe you don't, but you know it's in there. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. If you know it, it's going to bear witness. There's a lot of people that I know that you know it. And a lot of times some of you may have already birthed something and you're walking in it. That's great, awesome, and amazing. But some of you still just been carrying it. You know it's there. You feel it. And because I tell you how you know it's there, because sometimes you feel the false labor. You feel the birthing of it. You feel the contractions. And there's something in you that just yearns sometimes. And you feel a pain in there. Do you bear witness with what I'm saying? Sometimes there's a pain. Sometimes there's a longing. Sometimes you're just not quite sure. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you, if you'd be real honest this morning, and that's you and you're standing, I want you to just to come and kneel at the altar. Because there's only one person that can meet you. There's only one person that can meet Mary and bring forth the supernatural. And that was the Holy Spirit. Look, don't be afraid. Just come. Find yourself. Find a place at the altar. We got plenty of room all the way from one side to the other. Look, God sees your heart. He sees what's going on. He sees. Come on, Sam. Somebody praise the Lord. Look. What literally is going on here is God has put life in these people right here, and God is wanting to bring forth life from their womb. Come on. You look here and you see spiritually pregnant people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, the first thing that you have to do is you have to acknowledge. Mary had to acknowledge, yes, God, I will. I'm a servant. Whatever you've said, let it come to pass. Let it be. And this morning, all of you men and women who are knelt down here, you're saying right now, you're acknowledging, God, I am your servant. Let all that you said, let it come to pass. And the Lord would say to you, my word will not fail you. Come on, speak that over them. God's word will not fail you. God's word will not fail you. God's word will not fail you. Listen, what God has put in you, He will be faithful to bring it forth. He will be faithful to bring it forth. God, I thank you for the life that we see at this altar this morning. I thank you for the goodness that is within them. I thank you, God, for the promises that you've placed in them. And God, I pray that we'll begin to see the birthing of what you've placed in them. Because let me tell you this, all of you who are knelt down here, when Mary birthed the child of God that was within her, listen, she was never the same. She was never the same. She was never that little teenage girl anymore. She was the mother of the Christ. And Joseph was the father of Emmanuel, Jesus. And what God's got in you, listen, you're not going to be the same. You are not going to be the same. You will not be able to birth it and walk away from it the same. God's saying to you this morning that you got to hear my voice. And listen, you got to be obedient to it. You got to be obedient to my voice. You got to be obedient to my voice. You got to be obedient to my voice. Where I call you to go, you go. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What I'm calling you out to may look dangerous, may look more than you can handle, but do not be afraid. Don't let money, don't let status, don't let security, don't let comfort hold you back. Because God took Mary and Joseph and he took them on a journey. And he delivered the Messiah through them. And he entrusted them to raise that child. Look, if God's put something in you, listen to me, he's trusted you. He's trusted you that you'll bring it forth. He's trusted you and he says, I'll give you the strength. I'll give you what it takes to bring it forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, Holy Spirit. Meet each and every one of them here at this altar, God. Meet them. Meet them. Because Mary, when she said yes, she brought forth what she had. And the Holy Spirit united it with what he had. And it brought forth a miracle. And this morning you've come to this altar and you've brought what you have. And the Holy Spirit says, I will meet it with what I have. And what I'm going to bring forth from you will be a miracle. It'll be a testimony throughout the ages. Don't sell yourself short. Don't second guess. Walk in obedience. Hear the Lord. Listen, there will be King Herods in your life that will try to destroy what God is calling out of you. The enemy will send those in your life that will try to kill and steal and destroy the life that is within you. And you got to make up your mind. Will you make up your mind this morning like Mary and say, I'm your servant, God. Do what you will. And may all you said come to pass. Come on. Come on. Mary said yes. Joseph said yes. They didn't understand it all, but they said yes. They didn't have to understand because they trusted. Let me ask you this morning, those of you that are knelt down here this morning, let me ask you this question. Will you trust God? Will you trust God? Will you trust God? Will you trust God? Will you trust him? 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 I can promise you this, if you'll trust him, he will not fail you. His word will not fail you. His word will not fail you. His word will not fail you.